Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Here Be Monsters Radio and the Sunday Show. Once again, it's a pleasure to have the progressive professor Ron Feynman with us, and Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and myself. We're here to talk about the progressive side of politics for the last week, which is always a multifaceted, issue-laden circus of bread
It's a thrill a minute these days. It's insane. You can't keep your eyes. You can't close your eyes.
Yeah. I'm sorry about the replay, the second of extra music there, guys. But I worked this week to find to come up with a better intro that sounded hip, but a little more newsy for Jack. So I hope Jack liked that.
Oh, it was fine. Yeah, I kind of had that thought. It was a little bit more newsy.
Yeah, I wanted to suggest a future idea would be to have a minute of Trump saying one thing and then changing his mind the same day and back and forth, back and forth. I think I would say a lot.
That would just about tell it all.
Yeah.
We could do a whole hour of that stuff.
It's just hard to pick the clips. I mean, you know.
Yes.
And I did want to say something especially because Ron's on with us today. There was one thing he did this past week that just sort of stopped me short. I was hobbling. I have a little bit of an issue with my back being out right now. I'm hobbling.
Sorry to hear that.
Thank you, Jen. and I had MSNBC playing, you know, on the computer in the background. And I heard, you know, I'm not going to hobble back to turn it off just because Trump's being on. And I heard him say the comment he made about the disloyalty among Democratic Jews.
What about that on my Progressive Professor blog? Yes, it's disgraceful. That's the kind of thing that was used by the Tsar of Russia, by Hitler, by Stalin, and by monarchs in medieval Europe. It's disgusting.
Yeah,
and expanded. It was borrowed by Hitler, but it was expanded by the Thule Society, and it's hate and a target painted onto Jews that have been historically it's been used, but it has been for the last century, shall we say, even amongst here in America. It has been a number one flag waved by the white supremacists.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a resurgence of the Klan is what it is. And I was just absolutely shocked to hear that. Not because, I would say 70% of the American Jewish population usually votes Democratic or liberal.
Yeah.
Most I've known
about that. Time. The percentages that vote Democratic have done so for 100 years, yes.
Yeah.
I do. I have known, and even in my own family growing up, I happen to know one family that were actually Republicans, but they acted like liberals, and they were family friends. I mean, you know, Aunt
there might
Jojo
have been Republicans that were moderate to liberal Republicans. They were a different lot, like Wayne
exactly.
was a liberal Republican, correct?
They were in the fashion industry. They were in the fashion industry in New York. Little alligators were on their shirts. In fact, the fella I'm talking about designed the polo shirt. But my point is that these are good, kind people, decent people.
Oh, yeah.
And also, the fact is, too, that a majority of Republicans, and this is why I said that, it's because a majority, I think, of voting Republicans that are generational and have been, a lot of them are good, kind, decent people. They
yes.
are not this insanity that is sweeping over. That is, let's say, a third of a Republican constabulary there or constituency that lives with this hate, envy, jealous, greed, fear banner on their back. And they're the ones who become the white supremacists. And it's bred into people down here. But,
and you know what's funny? Years before, many years before, you know, in our lifetime even, those people used to belong to the very, very far right parts of the Democratic Party, but they switched
Democrats.
When LBJ proclaimed the Great Society and the liberal initiatives for
civil rights,
they switched to Republicans.
And that's what destroyed the Republican Party. They're dead. They'll never be the same again now.
Right.
And
well, let me interject here. It was Alexander Agnew, who they sent down south after the race riots in Cambridge, Maryland,
right,
kind of where I had my farm in Dorchester County. They sent him all over the south in that time period to convert all those old Klansmen Democrats to the Republican Party. That was Sir T. Agnew's mission.
Yep.
Well, you know, among the many shops...
Wait, you were a moderate liberal Republican all along, right?
Yeah.
Who? Yeah.
I'd say you were a moderate liberal Republican, Wayne, correct? All those years.
They devastated the Republican Party. There's no doubt about it. It's not the same, and it never will be again. And it began as a liberal party under Abraham Lincoln. My God, it has really gone about face.
It was an abolition party. But, you know, of many shocking things that happen weekly now, and I'll get to the main focus, I think, of the Globe at this moment. But, you know, he flew over there for that G7 meeting, and I think the conspiracy was amongst every one of the G6, let's say, to bring
Iran's guy.
Minister Zarif to the meeting, which cowed him in public.
Yeah.
It really did cow him.
Yeah.
And the point was made plainly, and I'm sure he's tweeting away right now. And on his way home, about, you know, all the nastiness of the, you know, burning every bridge in Europe that he can. But the point is that the world of our allies, our true allies, away from this Republicanism and Trump.
Right.
The majority of the country and the good leadership that we do have. Our true allies are working very hard in front and center. They wanted to talk about climate change and bringing down immediate sanctions on Brazil and the Amazon fires. And I don't know if everybody is completely aware of what a crisis this is for our entire planet. That is the lungs of the earth.
It's that that's
it absolutely
where most
is,
of the oxygen comes from. It's incredible.
Yeah, I'm very frightened about that. And I think it's really why my back is out, to tell you the truth. But the point is that it was front and center on the G7. That's what they wanted to talk about, was climate change and how to gear our economies to address it right now. And Trump has been throwing a monkey wrench into that for the last 4 days in back and
forth.
He's
a saboteur. He's something else.
He'd be enough to
throw anybody's back out. That guy is absolutely reprehensibly disgusting, thoroughly and totally.
But they sure you
get karma, though. I think karma is coming. KARMA. I really think so.
Well, let's give him some good old-fashioned, real American justice. But the other shocking thing, and I was going to ask Ron about this, I guess it's up to 143 now of the House of Representatives Democrats or Democratic Party representatives in the House.
Want to hold impeachment proceedings.
Impeachment proceedings, formal impeachment proceedings.
Yes.
And they were giving a Life Achievement Award to the Speaker of the House in San Francisco last few days. And in the midst of that were people who had part of her constituency and the people who have supported her financially brought in as guests people they knew that were going to stand up holding banners asking for impeachment, protest.
That's wonderful, yes.
But she still came out with, we don't have enough support. What the hell?
She's too fearful. She's afraid that the same thing is going to happen to them, to the current day Democrats that happened to the Republicans when they tried to impeach Clinton and failed miserably. She's afraid that's going to happen. That's a baseless fear in my estimation.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, the House impeached, but it took the Senate to remove.
Right.
And
it couldn't get a two-thirds vote. That's correct. Yes.
Right.
But it failed by one vote in the Senate. And you can damn sure that Mitch McConnell is not even going to bring it up to be voted on to have.
Well, hopefully he'll be defeated in 2020 and we won't have to worry about him anymore. He's in big trouble in his own state.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that as far as I understand, Mitch McConnell could not prevent an impeachment trial if the House votes to impeach. He could try to create troubles around it, but he can't prevent it from happening.
You can bet he would lobby heavily against it in the Senate.
Republicans controlled, and they're going to march lockstep and not have him removed. If they remove him, they know that then that's a tidal wave against their Republican Party in the Senate right there in itself.
But the other side of that coin for the Democratic Party is this, that if the Speaker of the House returns to Washington and does not address, I mean, she has been noting that we have new Democratic representatives from constituencies that voted for Trump.
Right.
And
she's endangering them.
She's saying that it would endanger them. Two of those candidates from those kinds of Trump constituencies have stood up at town halls while they've been at home and said, when are you going to impeach this nut? And still, the Speaker of the House is coming out with what she's coming out. I'm recalling.
Well, you know, let's face it. She's no ally of Trump's. She's not trying to protect him by any stretch. But she's just too fearful for her own good, and she's afraid of losing her speakership, which is a baseless fear.
Well, but
I agree. I think there's going to be a gain of seats in the House for the Democrats.
So do I.
In the Senate, too. I mean, did you hear the story? They compared David and Goliath to Hickenlooper. He dropped out of the presidential and immediately went for the senatorial race in Colorado.
Oh, he's going to win, too.
He has over 50% of the general vote already, approval. And it was, I thought, very well done. Of course, you know, I'm a student of myth, but I thought it was very well done that here he was, David, in the presidential. He comes out, he goes for the senatorial seat, and immediately
he'll crucify Cory Gardner. Cory Gardner doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah, he's basically. I thought it was a wonderful comparison, the David and Goliath, and there's also the idea too that another really fine candidate for a Senate seat would be the guy who ran for Senate against Cruz.
Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah, better.
But he's not going to unless
he's not going to do it though.
The Iowa caucuses. He has to do well in the first couple of caucuses and primaries. Otherwise, he'll drop out, and I think he will run for the Senate.
Yeah.
I hope so, Ron. I really do, because I think that he would take it in a heartbeat.
And
he wasn't impressing me very much, but after El Paso, he's made some speeches, Beto O'Rourke, and I'm listening, and I'm looking at him, and he resembles Robert Kennedy. People have said that, and his name is Robert Francis O'Rourke, like Robert Francis Kennedy. He looks like him, but he's not a Kennedy. And I listened, and I said, God, it almost sounds like Robert Kennedy in a way, the way he was speaking.
Does.
But I don't know if he can recover enough, but he is inspirational lately.
Well, he was very inspirational against Cruz. He really was. I tuned into their debates just to listen to Beto. I mean, he was really quite good. And he came very close to knocking Cruz out of that seat.
That would have been a godsend. Well, it'll happen eventually. Because Texas is changing slowly. It's getting more Hispanic. It's getting more Democratic in voter rolls and stuff. And it's inevitable. It's going to change back to at least a purple state, if not a blue state. It will certainly become
Houston,
a lot more
San Antonio
purple.
And Austin, that area is becoming more blue. Yes.
Right. Right.
Well,
yeah.
And Austin already is blue, but the thing that is also pressing is that I think that Arizona's been purple for a while, but I think
I think Arizona with Mark Kelly going to win that Senate seat, and I think it's going to go blue this time.
Yeah,
for president.
So we're talking about picking up Senate seats and holding Senate seats.
If we don't gain the Senate, then the Supreme Court's done, because Ginsburg may not last. God forbid, I hope she does. But the next term, Ginsburg and Breyer in the 80s are going to leave. And if Trump gets to pick them, we're going to have the 7-2 right-wing court for the next 20 years. Cannot be allowed to happen. We have to have a Democratic Senate.
Do you think for one red hot minute, I mean, really, sit down, ground yourselves, guys. Do you think for one red hot minute that Trump has a chance of winning?
No.
I would think not, but you never know in a crazy country.
A
lot of people in this country are nuts. I know people who just would not be reasons with. So anything is possible. It depends on who shows up, whether there's Russian collusion, other countries' collusion, or whether there's suppression of voters. Now, it's still possible, obviously, although I can't see it, but I wouldn't say it's in the bag that Trump's going to lose.
Well, I would say it almost is, but we can't be lax about it, and we cannot become complacent, and we must get as many people as we can out to vote to make sure that they vote against Trump. That's got to happen. We just can't assume
that he's going to lose. Particularly Latinos who don't vote a large number, they got to come out and vote.
The women and the youth are ready and chomping at the bit to vote in the primaries and for the local and for the national. They're all chomping at the bit.
College educated in suburbia are becoming more and more toward the Democrats now than they've ever been.
Right.
Well, and you can thank Trump for that, too. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. In a weird way, yeah.
Yeah, no.
What self-respect woman would vote for him with his misogyny? I know there are people who will, but I don't understand it. I really don't get it.
I know some women who would, but I don't believe they're regular women voters by any stretch. They're conservative to begin with, and their main thing is anti-abortion. That's their main thing.
Who, women?
There are very conservative women who do not like abortion, whatever.
Conservative women, and most of them are Republicans who have voted, but I know a lot of Republican women who vote pro-choice.
Not many. Very damn few.
Well, my mom was one. I mean,
your mom's long gone, and it's changed a lot, honey. So it's not the same. There are bedrock conservatives out there who are women and men who hate abortion with a passion, and they'll do anything they can to defeat a candidate who is pro-abortion.
Do you know why they're so anti-abortion? You do know
what's
why.
What's the reason?
Because they're afraid there's not enough white people.
That could be.
That's
part of
it. That is it.
And part of it's cultural, part of it's religious. You know, it depends.
You know, if you take a look at the religious affiliation with it,
usually Catholic.
And no, more evangelical, I'd say, on that side. I do not know one Kennedy woman that will vote anti-pro-choice that is not pro-choice openly, including Caroline Kennedy. I'm not actually currently, but I come from a Catholic family.
Keep in mind, Caroline Kennedy is not the typical woman voter. She's not by any stretch. She's more to the left than that. You got to keep that in mind.
A lot of my oldest friends are you know, Irish Catholic, went to parochial school back in, I've still got a lot
of
friends.
Good,
in that
but, you know, that's good,
always been pro-choice, and their mothers were pro-choice.
Well,
you know,
I don't see that at all. Not in my part of the country, and I'm not
well,
in the redneck South.
No, but I, well, yeah, but, you know, usually parochial school educated Catholics
were
prep school kids who were not, you know, I mean, people aren't all ignorant in the South, and not all of them came originally from the South, but not all of them down here. I mean, there is huge, big schools down here, parochial preps, that are outstanding in the country. They put people in Notre Dame all the time. So it's not like it's a collective of ignorance within.
Well, no. And not all Catholics are ignorant. Not all of them are anti-choice too. They're, but there is a significant number of them out there, and they're very virulent about being anti-abortion, and they'll do everything they can to defeat a candidate that proclaims pro-choice.
That must be a very geographical thing, Jack. Really?
No, it's not geographical at all. It's nationwide. I know people all over the country who are Catholic who are against abortion. There's it's a split issue. It, people are against it or they're for it. There's no middle ground on it. People hate it or they accept it or, you know, whatever. But there's no middle ground. There's a lot of strong feelings against abortion, and that's what kills a lot of liberal candidates, really.
Well, it hasn't killed a lot of liberal candidates of women, especially in Catholic communities in the Northeast or the Southeast or even in the West.
Well,
or,
it's a fact, Gwen. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is.
I mean, Nancy Pelosi is a Roman Catholic, and she's – when did she get voted into Congress? Was it the early 80s? Or
86 got elected, 1986, yeah.
It, but you're right, Jack. It's a very yes or no. It's black or white. Yes, you're right.
Joe Biden's
that.
Catholic, but you know he's never spoken up on. You know, he maybe not like abortion. It's one thing not to like it, but to try to you know prevent people from having it. That's the issue. You don't have to love everything, but you shouldn't have government intervening. Is the issue?
Yeah. That's what most Catholics will, Catholic politicians will say. They'll fall back to that.
Joe Biden, one of them, yes, yeah.
A woman.
By the way, I wanted to bring up Joe Biden. He's been making so many gaffes lately. It really upsets me. I know they're minor, but it's like you have to wonder: is he got the energy to be president for the next 5.5 to 9.5 years?
We need Elizabeth Warren more than him.
What's that?
Well,
we need Elizabeth Warren much more than him.
I must say, even with Warren, she would be 71 to 79 in office if she had 8 years. And, of course, Sanders is a year and a few months older than Biden.
Yeah.
They're all going to be two of them in the 80s and one almost 80 by 8 years. I have more and more feeling we have to go younger. We have to find a younger candidate.
Well, I don't think you're going to get the votes for him because they simply haven't got the kind of plans or policy measures. And if you go and look at Joe Biden's policy, I went to a site that's, I have to tell you, I read a lot of the Bernie Sanders policy stuff too, because he's really good about policy. And, of course, the best is one. But he has put cleft notes on Joe Biden's policies that are actual lobbyist documents. Did you guys know that? Did you know that he, it's like somebody went and put his website up slapdash. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's clear that Biden is not our primary choice, although anybody but Trump, but it's got to be reasonable.
Did you read about him using the example of an assassination of Barack Obama in his commentary?
That kind of thing you should say. That's crazy. Yeah,
pretty wacko.
Right, Dr. Jill Biden saying he may not be your ideal candidate. You might have to just deal with it. But you don't say that. You might think it, but you can't say everything that comes in your mind.
And yeah,
that's
pretty stupid.
You're not helping your husband by saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she said what her words were was you're just going to have to swallow it. And I said, you know what, baby, you come on over here and say that. Right to mustard. You,
I like Dr. Jill, but this is one time she really messed up by
they're
saying
nice
that,
people.
I think.
They're nice people, but as he always has done when he's run for president, he loses his edge because he listens to whatever these guys are telling him to say, or he makes big gaffes by trying to mix up what he's been told he should say and what he thinks he should say. I mean, it's pretty obvious. He's bumbling.
Well, it's
I
clear
mean,
he's not the best choice for president on the Democratic side. There's no doubt about that. There are
the
many,
one thing I'll
many
say about him, though, is if you look at all
God,
the candidates on foreign policy, not domestic, nobody matches his knowledge of foreign affairs.
That's
not
a good
that
point.
We have to have a president come in with knowledge, but it would be nice to have a president with, like I think, Nixon and the first Bush really had qualifications in foreign affairs. None of the others did. They all had to learn on the job.
Right.
But it would be
you
nice
know,
to have someone who could do
know
that,
what?
You know.
You know what? Barack Obama had to learn on the job, and I'll tell you what, Elizabeth Warren or Pete Buttigieg or even Cory Booker or Kamala
Harris.
Julian
Castro. I'm really going for Castro later. I really see Julian moving up.
Fully, fully capable of learning on the job, and I'll tell you what's going to mean the most. It's the moment that that SOB is no longer when we get a president-elect. In that very moment, I can guarantee you whoever is president-elect will be on the phone to our allies immediately.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yeah. Repairing
yes.
the damage.
Oh, yeah. Rebuilding bridges. And I'll tell you what, you might find Joe Biden sitting in the White House again as some kind of cabinet member or counselor.
And that, I wouldn't be against that. That'd be fine. I don't think
no,
he's
I agree.
A presidential candidate.
Foreign
though.
Policy. If it were me, though, I'd reach back, you know, to a better Secretary of State than I can think of. But then again, you guys are going to throw the book at me if I mention it.
Who are you thinking of, Gwen? Go ahead.
Hillary Clinton, right?
That's absolutely who my first call would be. Okay, if you're not going to take the position.
Wait, no. Who was it?
I don't think she would take it. That's a job you got to travel a million miles. That's why even Joe Biden, as good as
he
Hillary
is. Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
Yeah, she,
well,
yeah, she a million miles.
You know, the allies all like her, and she did
but
a
I'm
good
saying
job.
Now she's older, and Joe Biden, I can't see him traveling a million miles as Secretary
no, I can't
of State.
See that either.
It needs, they both need a job, not quite as much travel, I think,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Have you taken a look at the amount of travel that Hillary Clinton, the Clintons, the Obamas, and a couple
they were
of
younger.
Others.
Now they're older. That's what I'm speaking
yeah,
of.
Older now.
I don't think Hillary
week.
Joe should be Secretary of State.
Right.
And you
else.
Know, she knows last she will not week. Be elected president now, and that was probably fueling a little bit of her travel. She was thinking, I'll do a good job as Secretary of State, and then the people will definitely choose for me. And they did by numbers, but
almost
not by
3 million
electoral college.
Yeah.
So I don't see her becoming Secretary of State. It would be wonderful, but
no, I don't
see it.
I don't think she would take it because I don't think she wants to deal on that level. But
right.
I do think that
she has the
she
capacity.
Would be more than, I think she would be more than willing to walk over to the Oval on a monthly basis to be of counsel and help. I really
oh,
do.
Oh, I'm sure she would.
Oh, absolutely.
She would welcome
yeah.
that.
I'm sure she
yeah, by the way, looking
there.
Back at Hillary Clinton, I think it would have been better if she had not been Secretary of State, stayed in the U.S. Senate, stayed there all those years, then run, because I think a lot of the weaknesses of her campaign was because of her record as Secretary of State, as the other side attacking her. It wouldn't
oh, yeah.
have been as easy if she had just been a senator. I think it was actually a mistake that she became her own future. Looking back, what you wouldn't know the future, I actually think it would have been better if she hadn't taken that job.
Yeah, that's a pretty good observation, I would say.
As a woman, strictly speaking, as a woman and seeing what she accomplished and especially what she put it to Putin with, I think she did a damn fine job as Secretary of State.
Yeah,
I
don't have
but that's
I don't
why
have
she
that.
Lost because of the Russian collusion against her because they hate her because
right.
of her speaking up against Putin. That's the whole point. As
yeah.
a senator,
well,
if she had said it, it wouldn't have had the same impact as Secretary of State saying that.
Not only speaking up, but she was responsible for sanctioning them so many times. She was responsible for putting sanctions over Iran when they weren't listening to a thing. I mean, she really knew how to leverage countries.
She was smart. She's very,
oh,
very
she's
able.
Right.
She's very able.
Yeah, And she did it in you know, as Secretary of State, and for Barack Obama, who has always been the polite, gentlemanly, sincerely met statesman as a president. So, I mean, to say that she, you know, she sat for 11 hours in front of that Trey Gowdy clown.
I remember 11 that.
11 hours, not a blink, not
yes.
even a small perspiration on her brow.
And they
and
hated her guts for that? Oh, my God, they hated her.
She was brilliant at that time, yes.
She was fabulous.
She got up from there and walked over and was gracious and shook hands with him, which was really her way of saying
it. She was model. She's absolutely model.
Such a great job. And I see you, Michael. I've got the chat room open. Mike Hugh, our old friend Michael.
Oh, Michael Hugh. Great to hear from him. Yeah.
He's listening in the chat room. But call in, Michael, if you wish. The thing is that she would be an excellent counsel for any president going forward, especially a woman president. And the other thing is, when you say she's too, you know, probably rung out to travel, do you know how much traveling she's done in this last year? How many miles she's put on? How many countries she's been to? How many forums she's conducted? And the programs she's initiated? I keep up with her. I follow her on social media. I see where she is. I listen to the little snippets on Twitter. I mean, she's really been very active as the Obamas who have been out there, but they don't always say where they are. All of a sudden, they're in Bali. Then they're in France. Then they're, I mean, you know, if you take a look at how much action you say, you know.
But I really do think her globetrotting days are drawing to a close. It's not going to slam shut, but she will gradually disengage from that because she's going to have to due to her age. She's not a kid
anymore.
And also,
she has grandchildren now, which she didn't have back then.
Right.
And who wants to give a boy your time traveling when you have grandchildren?
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
Among other things, too. You just don't know.
I wanted to mention, which I may have said one other time, Obama, sure, he's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But particularly when you think that he came after George W. Bush and before Donald Trump, that's going to always make him look much better in history, like Lincoln after James Buchanan and before Andrew Johnson.
Right.
If you're in the
good
right
point.
Place, the people on both ends are mediocre or worse, you really shine.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Great point.
Well, you know, I listened to a speech he gave, I guess it was a week ago or something, and he's certainly not out there stumping for Mr. Biden.
No.
But he was so gracious and so
He's a class guy.
Yeah,
yes.
He really is absolutely very good at that. And yeah, I've got my picks that I would bones to pick with him, but it's neither here nor there. I do wish, though, that people like Obama and perhaps, well, we do hear from Jimmy Carter and a few others of the past that represent the Democratic Party and Democratic leadership would speak out more about what is happening right now. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Mike Hugh is saying hello to us from the chat.
Yeah. It's good to have him with us.
But I will say that I wondered this week with everything that came out of D.C. and, you know, he's absolutely foregone any kind of press secretary. It's all about him directly what the press.
Yes, Stephanie Grisham is just is just there, but she's not even holding a news conference. No.
Yeah, and he does it by every time he walks out, and he's got that noise in the background, so that he can pick and choose what he wants to say and who he wants to answer, and who gets heard and who doesn't get heard, which is like, you know, the genius staging of a tyrant. You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. You know, Stephanie Grisham is just a tool. She's just a little puppet. That's all she is. And, oh, boy, they pinned that title on her chest Who cares? She's meaningless. She has no relevance whatsoever. And Kellyanne Conjob has a lot more power than she does.
Conway Conjob. Her husband speaks out against Trump every
day. Isn't that amazing?
I don't know how that marriage lasts.
It shows you Trump is not a family man. He destroys families.
You know, I don't know if any of you watched Joy this morning, and
yeah.
I know she doesn't listen in, but I do say kudos to Joy Reid for going a la natural with her beautiful hairdo. She's wearing a braid. She brought on some Harvard shrink, you know, today to talk about the malignant of Trump. Which we all pretty much know, as you are wont to say, Jack, and are right, and so is Ron. You and I and those who listen in and most of our social networks, Ron and Wayne, are very aware of what's going on with politics and don't get all of these nuances. But when it makes network news, and it did last week. I had no idea that NBC Nightly News had a small segment on because of what he said about being the chosen one.
Oh, how utterly ridiculous. I saw the footage. I about fell out of my chair. That guy is so disgusting. And there's the so-called religious right advocate. Give me a break. That guy, the only religion he understands is himself and increasing his wealth. That's all he cares about. He cares about nothing but that.
After calling American Jews disloyal, he goes and openly thanks a right-wing conspiracy theorist who tweets, calling him king of the Jews, you know, king of Israel is what he said, I believe.
Oh, give me a break,
I was like, all you can do sometimes is push the chair back a little and laugh because it's good for your heart, you know. That one was pretty, the chosen one. Oh, my, the chosen one.
The chosen one. Give me a break.
You know who was the actual biblical chosen one? He was a boy picked out of the river in a basket who was raised as a prince of Egypt and was a magi and magician and used tricks to actually bring emphasis to his declarations and what he wanted to get done. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to call and talk about chosen ones, the comparison is kind of, you know, there.
Trump
on the
even
mark.
Had the gall to look skyward, you know, as if he was talking to God. And give me a break. I just about puked.
But people, I guess, eat that up. Do you think, Ron? I mean, do you think, Wayne? That people eat that up?
I just look at my head, Gwen. It's like, how can people eat this stuff up with a spoon?
Oh.
I mean, it isn't funny. It really isn't. But
no, it's disgusting.
It keeps me from crying about the Amazon, okay?
Yeah.
Also, the Arctic is on fire. You know, Alaska's had an awful lot of fires as well, you know?
Right.
Much too warm in Alaska.
Wow, yeah. Record heat wave.
And we are
destroying the planet.
And then the thing about buying Greenland, I mean, and that's not a stupid move because there are minerals and there are resources.
That's exactly what his aim is.
You know.
And
why he wants Greenland, too, because he thinks of the natural resources, you know, that could be there in
and
Greenland.
And he can build a whole new hotel there, you know. The guy's disgusting. God. And, you know, the Prime Minister of Denmark shut him down immediately on that one.
And then he says she was nasty. He's every minute nasty.
Oh,
who is he to talk about being
nasty?
His projection,
so he canceled his trip there. What a jerk.
Yes.
You know,
I'm
going to bet you $20 one day somebody will write a biography on this whole plan, and we'll come to know that his father, Fred, called his mother nasty.
I'm sure. I'm sure, yeah.
I'll bet you.
He probably did even worse than that.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I wanted to also mention a very good example for his son. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I was going to mention that people, if some Jews say he's so good on issues for Israel and Jews, but they don't know that when he was involved with Epstein years ago, you know, as horrible as it was, that one time he got angry, and I've read that he said Epstein was, quote, a Jew bastard. So wonderful person who admires Jews, but he calls somebody
too,
a Jew bastard, you know?
On many times, yeah, he's something else.
You know,
just like I think I may have told you, I knew a young man from years ago who is now middle-aged who was a golf caddy, and he was with somebody working as a golf caddy with Trump and his golf caddy.
Oh,
and in the golf caddy for Trump was African-American, and and he got nasty at his golf caddy, and he said, "Go get that nigga." Can you believe that?
Oh, I can believe that out of Trump. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
He never said the word nigger, but he said it, a Jew bastard, plenty of times. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, Trump in New York, and I heard somebody say, it was our pal Joy Reid today, said that, you know, of course, Trump only has fans amongst the haters and the white supremacists.
Very true,
and
good point.
And the very, very rich. But she got that wrong because the very, very rich will have nothing to do with him socially or business-wise if they can help it.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't need him. They don't need him.
They never need
him. Well, except for the tax cuts.
Yeah, they like that. That's the only
regulation, yeah.
Well, that's him trying to pony up to the same trough, and he's nowhere near it. But the thing is that, well, my mother had a saying, you know, if we were sitting at some social function and somebody was acting out like that kind of thing. And I've seen that in other people. And I was a kid, and my mother would say, put her finger to her lips, and then she would say a few minutes later, "They are not nice people." When my mother said they are not nice people, what she meant was they're worse than Adolf Hitler back
then.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
You know,
your mother
was
a classy lady. She knew when to hold her tongue. There's no doubt about that from what I've heard from her.
Yeah, but she knew when to shut up, but then again, she knew when to come in fast, hard, and
absolutely. Yep. She was a great lady.
And nobody put it over on her.
Sure.
Yeah, where do you think I get all this crap from? but the thing is that, you know, right now, we've never dealt with the conversations that we are dealing with in the moment. We are talking about white privilege. We are talking about what we really think of, how we really care or do not care about our black, brown, yellow, purple, orange, LGBTQXYZ people in our community and neighbors. We are having conversations. And we are calling one another out, or we are saying, "I get it." And that is amazing. You have to find the light. You really have to find the light.
And
there
Trump
is
really
light.
He has got to learn that the whole nation is not blonde-haired, pale-skinned, blue-eyed, white nationalist idiots like he is. You know, he thinks like he does. He's in delusion land.
Yeah, well, not everybody had Dr. Mengele as, you know, their childbirth doctor.
I think Dr. Mengele delivered him.
No, but he probably drank with his relatives that were
relatives,
close.
Relatives, yeah.
You know, I don't know. That's
ridiculous. Well, we can speculate, but the same type.
Let's face it,
you know.
Donald Trump is mentally ill. He's a danger to the country more than any person with a firearm because he has nuclear weapons.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, that was what they were hitting on, I guess, NBC Nightly News. And whoever chooses to watch, because that's what the majority of the country still watches, is that nightly network news. And if they're listening to stuff like that, plus, of course, all of the tragedies that have been going on, you know, when there's a mass shooting, whenever there's a crisis, a fire or the weather has gone crazy, then the majority of the country who does, you know, watch news will run over to the cable channels. That's when CNN and MSNBC and Fox start to get huge volumes of watching.
Yeah, most people watch CBS, NBC, ABC, you know, and the major networks. And then secondarily, they'll go over to the cable networks. But, you know, a significant number of cable people watch that terrible Fox propaganda network, which is a bullshit channel. Never is new.
Well, now
though,
they've been graced by Sarah Huckabee Sanders joining them next
God
month.
Help
Isn't
us
that
all.
Exciting?
Sarah Huckster Slanders, I call her. She's a
the massive liar of all time, Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
I mean, really, how can you stomach it? But you know what I saw this week that I didn't even know was out there? Russell Crowe, who's a really good actor.
Yeah.
I guess last year did a short series for Showtime called The Loudest Voice about Roger Ailes. And boy, oh my God, I can't imagine Trump watching that and not getting freaked out. whoever
or inspired.
well, he was a part of the last ending of it, but and I never knew that Roger Ailes was a hemophiliac.
Oh, I never knew that either.
Yeah, he was.
He's a bleeder,
he
huh?
Was. Yeah, that's what killed
He's
him.
He's lucky he didn't piss off the wrong guy. He could have been sent. He could have been sent to the morgue just by a punch in the nose.
It makes you wonder what the universe is up to, doesn't it?
It sure does. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, they let guys like Trump and Hitler live, but if you pedal back and take a broader view of the whole thing, you got to wonder. And if Germany and Hitler and all of that didn't happen, you know, what would the alternative history have actually been? And would
well,
we
Trump would
have
invented it. You know, he's
well, he's trying to right now. If you
it's
ask
insane.
Me,
well, he's trying to be an autocrat. He's just he's a wannabe autocrat. That's what he is. He's a wannabe. He's trapped in a democratic society, and he doesn't like it one bit. And he's trying to force that democratic society to go along his way. And he's not going to succeed. He's going to fail miserably. And I can't wait to cast my ballot against that son of a bitch. I just can't wait for that day. And I'll be so glad when the whole country rejects him and throws him out on his ass.
But then the question is, will he leave or refuse to leave? That would be an interesting scene of the Secret Service.
Oh, yeah, he'll fight it, you bet. He'll call it a fraud, and he'll call it voter fraud and all this nonsense. But he won't have a leg to stand on if it's overwhelmingly against him.
Oh,
and that's what I'm hoping it will be.
Would it not be glorious to have live camera footage on them jackboot marching him out of the White House?
In chains.
Home.
In chains and leg braces. I can't wait.
I mean, but here we are. Here we are. You know, projecting a future that is uncertain, and the
right.
most important thing right now is to remember to vote in your primary, please.
Oh, absolutely.
Vote
in
your primary. I mean, and I think those primaries are going to be kind of wild shows. I don't know. I'd have to ask. I wonder what you guys think. I know a lot of people are turning towards Warren, and Sanders still has a huge amount of support, but not
mm-hmm.
as much.
But Kamala Harris has slipped in
she's
polls lately.
A bit, yeah.
Kamala Harris.
And she's very
dropped 12
too.
Points. That's worrisome for her.
Yeah.
It
you
is.
Know, I can truthfully say I have voted in every eligible election in my entire voting life.
So have
I. Even minor school board and city council races and stuff like that, you know, in off years and stuff like that. I always, because I value very much the ability to make a choice. And a lot of people just take it for granted and think it'll always be there. But, you know, they forget votes can be taken away from you too, either by fraud or by outright stealing. You know, there's many ways for people to influence and steal an election.
Suppression. Well, I'll tell you what, we're real lucky right now to have Stacey Abrams on our side, because she has a
yes.
whole program dedicated to bringing out voter suppression and fraud during these next elections.
Great.
And I bless her every day I get up.
Yeah.
She's an incredible lady. She deserves
she really is.
she deserves whatever place she hews out for herself. But I'll tell you what, Jack, I have voted also in every vote wherever I've lived. I've voted when I've been in the country. I have been out of the country twice for major elections. But
I think
then
you can go to the embassy or something in that country and obtain a ballot or something, can't you? I think so. But even so, regardless, when you were here, you were able to do it, and good for you. Every citizen should read your book, Gwen, no doubt about it.
Well, they were raised, I was raised to do such things. But you know what? That's the thing. You're either, I think it's generational with a lot of folks. I mean, Jack, you and I were raised parochial school, Catholic.
Oh, yeah.
It was drummed into us, wasn't it? You know, even at school, you go and you do your job voting. That's what your parents are going to vote.
Well, my very first grade, a Catholic got elected president and then was murdered 2 years later, or 3 years later. And so that was a big, big deal at our school, no doubt about it. And, and I always made it a point. Later on in life, I got a firsthand taste of some snide Republicans that were in control of our city. And I helped get them, not me alone, but I was part of a group that helped get them out. And it took several years, but we finally achieved it, and we elected our first ever state representative on the Democratic side. And it was the other person was replaced 2 years later. So it worked out real good, and now it's settled down a little bit, but it still votes primarily Democratic in my area.
You know, I have to wonder, Jack, because there still are parochial schools around, but they're not, mostly there's no nuns in the classrooms.
Nuns, you can't even see them anymore. They don't wear the big habits like they used to. And
no,
some of them are, you know, they're
do,
very,
most
well,
of
they're
them.
Very lucky to be out of that stuff, I think. But
yeah,
they've had quite a reduction in their ranks. They really have.
Well, and most of them have become, you know, actually, did you forget we had the nuns on the bus on the show?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jack, but
activists.
They've become activists and academics and authors and lecturers.
Yeah,
but,
that's wonderful.
And they're under inquisition by the Vatican in this country right now still. But,
oh, yeah,
You know, just a kid, cardinal law. You know, when we were children and, you know, the day that the president was assassinated, I can remember the nun coming into the classroom and, you know, saying, we're going to say a prayer now, children. You know, that's what they did.
Yes,
and
exactly.
The very same thing for Martin Luther King and all of them during that time. And because we had two black sisters at and they were both
I had one
Africa.
Too. Amazing.
Yeah.
She's a great lady and I still keep in touch with her.
Yeah. It that was one place where you could find
You know, I remember when Kennedy was killed, I was being taught at that time in a parochial school. I was in fourth grade, and we had I had a teacher who was from Missouri, and she wasn't Catholic, but she's a credentialed teacher, so she was able to handle the fourth grade class, and she even taught us a religion class. She had the priest come in and do it too and stuff, but she went by the book, and she followed her thing, and I remember the look on her face when the principal came on the announcements and said that President Kennedy had been shot in Dallas, and then 20 minutes later came on and said, President Kennedy has died, please, let's say a prayer. You know, and she just looked so quizzical. She just didn't know what to make of it, man. There are all kinds of things going through her mind, I'm sure, and I'm sure she is weighing all the different odds of all the crazy right-wingers that were out in abundance in those days, and it was quite a devastating event for the whole country, but I'll never forget the look on her face when she first heard about it. It was just stunning.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that the last few days, apparently somebody, was arrested or convicted for threatening to kill Bernie Sanders. And that reminds me of my article on History News Network that all the 10 or 12 people that are left in the presidential race after this next debate, or at the time of this next debate, need Secret Service protection.
Yeah,
because it reminds me of what happened with George Wallace in 72 being shot. Robert Kennedy being assassinated in 68. And
yes.
It doesn't matter who it is. I'm not a George Wallace fan, but that still was atrocious that he got shot and paralyzed.
Horrible.
So we
yeah.
need protection for these people because
absolutely.
We have too many haters out there who would love to kill one of these people.
Yeah.
And some people just do it out of notoriety. They want to be noticed and become a topic of notoriety. It's just it's insane, the motives that people have. It's not always political.
Most of the mass shooters, but the thing that's really frightening and where Ron has hit the nail on the head is that if you've noticed historically in this country, it's, let's call it our side of the street, is who gets assassinated, with the exception of like Wallace, especially
George Wallace, not Mike Wallace.
Usually it's a progressive or a liberal, but not always.
I said Wallace.
It was a George Wallace in rural Maryland where it happened.
Wallace was a good guy.
Yeah, it was in Maryland. Yeah, that's right.
It turned his head around, didn't it? But the thing is that you're right. You're right, Ron. They should have Secret Service protection. But an interesting thing. Because of Trump and his family's traveling and the lifestyle they lead in Washington as the first family, the Secret Service has been bankrupt and has been, being sparsely.
They have to raise taxes if they have to because we need protection. That's all I can say,
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
maybe he shouldn't be going golfing as much where they have to waste money on that.
That's a good point.
But isn't that a directive that comes out of the Oval Office?
What, the Secret Service
like
protection?
No, I know they're part of the Treasury Department.
Yeah.
I know
he should be paying for his own golf. He shouldn't have to be paying for all the insane.
He should be running down to Mar-a-Lago every damn weekend.
They should not be protected by the Secret Service like they're. I can see Barron, but adults should be responsible for themselves.
Right.
I don't think they should be protected as much as they are, where they travel over the world for business, and we're paying for it.
Yeah, it's insane. That's
a
good point.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, I know that they are part of the Office of Treasury, but isn't the directive for something like that to give protection to political leaders something that comes directly out of the Oval Office?
Out of their budget? I don't know.
I don't know.
The address, the issue itself, to the order. Like ordering all U.S. business people out of China. You know what I'm saying?
But you cannot do. No president can do that. That's
a
dictatorship.
That's a fallacy.
Can't control, corporations. He can regulate them, but he can't control them and say, "Get out of China."
Right.
That's nuts.
My first thought was, how do the Republicans qualify this? Come on, the profit barons. How do they qualify that one?
They're full of contradictions. We've known that for many years. So it's just. Inherent in what they are. And God Almighty, we're at the end of our hour already. Holy God in heaven.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
We have a lot of fun. We really
hours.
Do.
Jack, we're trying to get away from the sky gods and get back down to earth and say, everybody, please, this week, if prayer saying is your thing, meditation is your thing, just send all your best to the Amazon and those people who are fighting hard to put those fires out, not just the Amazon, but Alaska. And there's some in Syria. They're all over the planet. But good gosh, please give a thought to our Amazon, please.
All the pollutants that are out there, it's just we've got to do something about it. And we're talking about it, but we've got to do some acting, too, to get this straightened out because it's out of control.
We have 1 minute left. So, Ron Feynman. Author.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us. And you can
be with you again. Yes, thank you.
On the progress, just Google the Progressive Professor or look him up on Facebook
or
Ronald Feynman on Amazon.com. And Jack,
go ahead.
You can see me at the Saturday Afternoon Post. Google that. Or just go www.jodell53.com. That'll get you right to my site. And I've always got something topical on there, at least every Monday and Thursday, at the very least. And sometimes more than that.
And sign us off, Jack.
Yes. Make sure you keep pushing forward. We can't go backward any further. we're stumbling badly under Trump, and we've got to keep pushing forward to keep the agenda sane, fair, and equal. And let's do it. Let's make it a point. Keep pushing forward, everybody.
Thank you, gentlemen. As always, Ron, Wayne, thank you for being with me. And good night, Mike Hugh. Good night, buddy.
Yeah, Mike. We'll talk next week, I hope. Come on back.
Good night, Wayne. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Have a great week.